This is Edward October, host of October Pod on YouTube. Hear that jingle jingle? It could be Kris Kringle, or a home invader looking for an open window, a jilted lover looking for revenge, or a disgruntled co-worker hoping to spike your eggnog with arsenic. The girls of our true crime podcast are always on Santa's nice list, but the crimes they discuss are very naughty indeed. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, I'm Gerald.
And I'm Natalie.
And we're the hosts of Conspired,
an up-and-coming podcast that covers true crime, conspiracies, and the paranormal.
You can find us on all podcasting platforms. Just search Conspired.
It's spelled like the spear you throw.
Exactly. So Conspired just wanted to wish you guys a happy Hanukkah Wanzismas.
What?
Jen from our true crime podcast chooses October Pod for her spook show thrills.
I always stream October Pod. I find the story so very dark and chilling, and I love the found footage.
Like Jen, choose October Pod on YouTube. October Pod, retro horror for bold individualists.
I'm great. Today is the second Nightmare Before Christmas.
If you missed last night's episode, check it out.
That was the first Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, one comes before two.
Exactly.
And then tomorrow's three
Nightmares Before Christmas. So if you're just catching up, every day, starting yesterday the 12th until the 23rd, we are doing one mini-ish episode of the 12 Nightmares Before Christmas.
Each case features a victim or victims to correspond with the day. So, for instance, the fourth day, we'll have four victims.
And we're doing this because on the 23rd, we are going to take a small mini break and we will not be back until January 9th. I know Cam and I are going to be extremely busy. I'm sure you will too.
Yes.
So if you can't listen to them all during the holiday, then you can just listen to them on the break. It's extra bonuses, even though we're going to be gone for a couple weeks.
It's our Christmas present to you.
It
Happy
is.
Holidays.
We're givers.
We are givers.
We are.
We're 12 days of giving is what
if
we are.
If not more. We love you and we want you to be happy, so we're doing this and for you. It's all for you.
If you can't get a puppy or a new car, you have a little Jen and Cam.
Well, I think Jen and Cam are kind of better than a new car. Puppy, not sure. Although we are potty trained for the most part. If not, we do have our own, we do come with our own pee pads.
You are such a dork.
Whatever. So what story do you have for us for our second Nightmare Before Christmas?
I'm glad you asked, Jen.
Oh, good.
I'm glad you asked, Jennifer.
Jenny.
So, Jenny, I got your number.
8 6 7 5 Yeah, I told you there was going to be some singing in there.
Just a little singing.
This story, I came across it. Obviously, we were doing victims to correspond with the day, and I had two. I did the evens because I'm kind of even and you're kind of odd.
It's good to be odd.
Ba-dum-bum. I stumbled across this case. It's definitely nightmare fuel, let me tell you.
Oh, good.
It's a little scary. It's creepy. I know you don't like camping. I do. So I will always think about this if I'm ever in a tent again. Let's put it that way.
Okay. I like camping if it's in a hotel.
Yes, that
it can
count.
Even be like a two-star hotel. I'm fine.
Ugh, gross. Nope. Here we go. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
19-year-old Terry Jentz and her roommate, 20-year-old Avra Goldman. Now, both of these girls were Yale University students, roommates, okay?
Oh, wow.
Decided.
So smart.
Very smart. Mm-hmm. They decided they wanted to cycle across the United States.
Okay, so that's not so smart.
Okay. Not to mention, you know how we feel about that. And they wanted to travel the newly opened Trans-American Trail.
I've heard of that.
They completed this ambitious journey. They did it. They did what they wanted to do. Their journey ended in Astoria, Oregon. After landing there, they decided to head...
Where did they start?
Well, they're from Yale, so I'm going to say the East Coast. So after completing the journey, they ended in Astoria, Oregon, and then they decided they're just going to head through the state of Oregon. Just a little sightseeing
around again. Try it out, see what's going on.
So on the night of June 22nd, they stopped at the Klein Falls State Park, and now this is in rural Deschutes.
Deschutes?
Deschutes.
With Deschutes Brewery.
Deschutes County, and decided to camp there overnight alongside the river. Very pretty, peaceful, love that.
Bugs, critters,
nah. Fire. Around 11:30, both women were asleep in their tent. They woke up to the sound of a truck pulling into their campsite. Yes, Jen's giving me a funny look. That's exactly.
Yeah. Oh, you haven't heard nothing yet. You hear a truck pull up to your campsite.
At first, Jen's believed the vehicle was probably a truck full of teenagers looking to party. Ugh. So it didn't really.
That's almost worse.
Right? It didn't really frighten her. She didn't really get up. But what was about to occur would be difficult for anyone to imagine. You ready?
No, I don't think I am. I really don't think I am, but go ahead.
As the vehicle revved its engine, it went full force and proceeded to drive over them in the tent with the women inside. When it stopped, the tires pinned Jens to the ground at her chest. Later, she would learn she broke both of her arms, one leg, her collarbone, several ribs, as well as crushing her lung.
Are you kidding me? Who the hell would do that?
Ugh. It's about to get worse, Jen.
Someone's on Santa's naughty list.
He's not getting a new truck this year. Okay, it's about to get worse. The stranger exited the vehicle, and in the light, she could see something metal. It was an axe. He began striking Goldman in the head and hit her around 6 times. The man then stepped over to Jens, and she recalls, I looked up at him and I opened my eyes and I said, take anything but leave us alone. Please leave us alone. He brought the axe down slowly and I caught it in my hands right above my heart, grabbed the blades in my hand, and then he withdrew it.
Oh my God.
Now this all came from a book that Terry Jens has written, and it's called Strange Piece of Paradise, and it chronicles the attack and her, subsequent recovery.
Thank goodness.
She describes, looking back on this, that there was so much blood, she can still smell iron. She gets that same smell back every once in a while.
Oh, what a nightmare. Seriously.
Told you nightmare fuel.
I mean, I don't think that guy was there to rob them or anything. Mm-mm. Not even to rape her. He was just after blood.
Oddly, after Jens begged the man, he went ahead and returned to his vehicle and simply drove away.
What?
Her friend, Avery Goldman, was, hit in the head with that axe around 6 times, and she could hear her screaming. Jens managed to, and I just cannot believe this, stumble to a nearby road where she flagged down Bill Pinhollow and Darlene Jervis, 2 teenagers who were driving past. Jervis recalled that Jens was so bloody, it was dripping off the ends of her hair. Pinhollow and Jervis drove to the campsite to tend to Goldman, her friend, who was severely injured. They didn't know if she was going to make it or not. While they're doing this, they notice a pair of headlights appear in the distance at the edge of the park. So they kind of freak out and they assume it's the attacker that's going to return. But it didn't. It actually ended up turning around and driving away. Jens would later recall she felt like she was being watched. And she says it was an animal instinct of danger and we both had it. We both had it separately, and we shared it with one another. So they talked about being watched. How creepy is that?
Ugh.
Police arrived at the Klein Falls campsite after midnight on June 23rd and began investigating the scene. So because the attack was so unexpected and isolated, the killer got away. Nobody witnessed it. Nobody could identify a car. The only people that could identify him was the two.
Right.
And I'm pretty much betting that he thought he killed both of them.
I would think so. Right? After everything he did, you would assume that he'd be dead. I would, anyway.
So police officers inspected the scene, and they were able to locate and get tire marks that were left in the dirt. They determined the vehicle likely had 2 bald tires in the rear, and one of the front tires was also possibly bald. The other one had significant tread on it. You'd think, why is this important? I guess maybe if somebody got rid of tires. Both Jens and Goldman were taken to a local hospital where Goldman underwent a 9-hour emergency brain operation. Detectives were unable to obtain a really good quality description of the attacker from the victims. Goldman, who had sustained serious brain trauma, remembered nothing of the attack, which is probably a blessing. Jens, who was conscious throughout, did not see the face of the assailant, but described him as being physically fit, sort of a, quote, young cowboy, end quote. Based on his clothing, she said that he had, like, cowboy boots on and sort of, like, Western gear outfits. In the weeks following the attack, a local woman in Redmond told authorities that she had been told that the attacker was a local young man named Richard Dick Dam.
No.
Dick Dam?
No. No. No.
Can't make that up. Who no. names their kid that? Come on,
well,
people.
No wonder. That's abuse.
Right? What is that?
That is not right.
You can have one bad name. You can't put two together.
No. Dam? How did it... D-A-M?
D-A-M-M.
Double M's?
This is parental abuse. I can't even say the name right. Dick?
They could have at least called him Richard or Rich.
Rick. How about Ricky Dam?
Rick.
Ricky. Ricky Bobby Dam. Dick Dam was 17 years old at that time.
Wow.
Dam was interviewed by detectives on several occasions, and it
was special?
Discovered that night, this is a little interesting, that night he had gotten into a huge argument with his girlfriend, Janie Farley. And that happened the same night as the attack. He did disappear for a couple hours during that night, never disclosed his whereabouts after their fight.
So if it is little Dickie Dam and
Dickie Dam,
he got mad at his girlfriend, so decided to run over two
people.
Campers.
And
then, hey, you know what? I'm just going to finish this and take an axe to him. Really?
Mm-hmm.
If that's true, he's got anger issues, I think.
You think? So the girlfriend had denied that the two were fighting on that day, but she did say that they fought a lot and very often. Dam. I just got to keep saying his name.
Dick Dam.
Dick Dam was given a polygraph. The first one proved inconclusive. So he was given a second polygraph on July 14th, 1977. The results of the second polygraph were shown to be deceptive.
Ooh. Deceptive Dick Dam.
So the validity of the results were called into question when it was discovered. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Dick Dam. was under the influence of meth.
Oh, no.
Yes, during the exam. Now, I betcha that...
Dick Dam does drugs.
Dick Dam does damn drugs. The results of both polygraph examinations were then subsequently analyzed by two independent labs, and it was, in fact, the opinion of the analyst that he did show deception, even though he was on meth. Farley, that's his girlfriend, later told authorities that she had noticed Dam changed the tires on his truck shortly after that attack, and the toolbox located in the truck bed had been removed. She also conceded to police that Dam had been abusive to her throughout their relationship. So another suspect was a convicted child rapist and murderer, Richard Wayne Bud Godwin. After the attack, Godwin was imprisoned for the murder of a 5-year-old child. Whose skull he used as a candle holder?
No.
See, I know there's a lot of crazy people in the world.
What?
There really is. But you know what? You do these true crime podcasts and it just opens up a whole new can of worms.
You learn so much more.
So both Jens and Goldman survived their attack and recovered from their injuries.
Thank goodness.
Goldman was left with vision problems resulting from that awful axe wound.
I'd take that besides the alternative.
Yeah, exactly. So something positive did happen from this. The two girls,
right.
They lived, thank goodness. But also in September 1977, Goldman's parents donated some money to the medical center that treated them. They created a fund for critical care monitoring equipment under the names of Pinhalo and Gervais, the two teenagers who found the two girls.
Oh, that's sweet.
Right. In 2006, Jens published a book recounting her life after the attack titled Strange Piece of Paradise. While researching the book and getting ready to write it, she discovered that the official records of the attack, including all the interviews, physical evidence, you know what I'm going to say,
right.
Crime scene photos, had been lost.
Of course
they have.
Wow.
So that's my story.
I'm so glad they survived.
Right? I like camping. I cannot imagine that. That's so creepy.
Well, I don't like camping, but I still couldn't imagine that. Okay, just say we get a wild hair and we go out and we camp. If that
would
happen...
You and I would never camp. We'd never get out of the car. Let's be honest. Actually, we'd never leave the bar to get into the car to drive to the campsite.
Right. Well, I was going to say that we'd probably... I don't know if I could...
Sleep in a tent with me?
No. I could do that as long as you wear your pajamas. But I could not imagine watching somebody bring an axe down on your head. Sure, I've imagined doing it.
No, you haven't.
No, I haven't.
I think sometimes like these... And this is what I think you're trying to say, because I
right.
like to talk for you. Is that...
You're my interpreter.
I am. Your gin-terpreter. Gin-terpreter. You wonder how people have the right sense of mind to do something, to like to be able to see that. I think I'd just roll over and be like, oh, this is it. I'm out. Beg him not to do that.
To have to watch some man attack you and then...
He's coming for you.
Know that he's coming for me. Would I have the guts to fight back? Well, it's that how badly do you want to survive mm-hmm. type thing.
I think he thought they were dead.
He had to have.
Or that they would be dying shortly. I mean, after well, all those broken bones six... and then she made it to the road? Are you kidding me?
Well, I would think after running someone over and then hitting somebody over the head with an axe six times, yeah, I would think that right? they would be dead too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then again, I would think that if I was going to kill someone, I would totally make sure that they were dead so they wouldn't talk.
Well, and if he was young, 17.
And meth.
But then, see, how would you not... How can you live with yourself? How can somebody do that and then just never talk about it? I don't know if you know this, but I kind of have a big mouth. I would have to tell somebody.
I would have to tell somebody, too.
Like, you just have to.
If that was my boyfriend, I've said this before and I'll say it again. If you do something wrong...
I would get you.
I'm going to tell people.
Yeah.
I would send my own children to jail if I knew they did something wrong. I love them. But if they committed a murder or whatever, I would send them to jail.
We'll save that for another episode because the guy I worked out of his, we talk about that. If
the wonderful things he does.
Yes. Because he's always like, I would cut them off totally. That would be it. And I'm like, no, you wouldn't. Hmm. He goes, yes, I would. I have no problem with that. And I go, that's because you're a man. Uh-huh. If you were a woman, you would not do that. So then we talk about death penalty with Hayden and stuff. And he goes, so if Hayden murdered all these people, would you want him to get the death penalty? I'm like, no. Mm-mm. But if somebody murdered my people, then yes. I go, but he's my child. Like, you can't. You know what I mean?
For him. Yeah, Jeffrey Dahmer's father, when he said, I still love him. He's my son. I hate what he did.
Yeah.
But yes. I still love him. And you do that. I mean, no matter. It's totally. Unconditional love. And maybe for mothers, it's different because
that's what I said. That's you what grow I
them.
Too.
They're part of you. They're inside of you. You feel them move and you've nurtured them since they were conceived. So maybe that's a mother thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
And those two kids. So we're driving down the road, blah, 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 16 years old. And we see this bloodied woman jump out.
Yeah, I would freak out.
Without, before cell phones.
Yeah.
I had never heard that story before. That's amazing. And I'm so happy those two women survived and the one was
check out her book,
hero,
right?
Seriously, what was the name of the book again? She totally was a hero.
Her name is Terry, T-E-R-R-I, and her last name is Jentz, J-E-N-T-Z, and the name of her book is Strange Piece of Paradise.
Wow, and it's still in print?
Yep.
We'll probably get it on Amazon, I bet.
Actually, yes, because I looked it up. It is on Amazon.
We'll put that in the show notes, too, in case anybody wants to
check it out.
Right, survivors, strong women, love them. Also, I hope you're enjoying the holiday greetings from all of our podcast friends that have been sending in little greetings for you. Ding, fries are done. Ding, fries are done. Ding, fries are done.
All right, Jen.
Anyway.
Remember, lock your doors.
And keep passing by those open windows.
Bye-bye.
Love you. Hey, Cam.
It's okay. You can go either way.
I heard you go either way.
Okay. And they hear, okay.
Okay.
I gotta slow down. And I also gotta stop with the uhs and the so's. Oh, crazy.
Do you want to start over and go slower?
Nope. I looked up at him and I opened my eyes and I said, take anything but leave us alone. Please leave us alone. He brought the axe down slowly. And
I think he was there to kill. I don't think he was after anything.
He interrupted right in that. But that's it. Okay,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's okay.
Sorry.
Because it's her quote. She wrote a book. That's for her.
Oh, okay.
But I'm gonna talk about that in a minute.
It's almost like dental dam, but it's a dick dam, so a condom, right?
If you got it one is. Bad name, you can't give them two bad names.
It's like that ABCD for Abcity, that little girl.
I'm not going to talk about that. Get yourself in trouble. Get yourself on the news.
That's free publicity for the podcast.
Wrong. So anyway, Dick Dam was... Dick Dam. That's a porn star's name.
Dick it
Dam.
Is. Dick Dam.
Okay, sorry.
Damn, Dick. Damn.
Dick Dam. They
that
lived,
damn
so this is okay.
Deceptive Dick Dam.
Triple D. Oh.
Ooh. Ooh. That goes with his porn name. Not that I've ever watched porn.
Okay, so I gotta go away. Goldman's parents donated $3,000 to the medical center they created a fund for critical care monitoring. Hold on. So
Dick Dam. Okay, good. I thought it's my bad.
Remember that?
Oh, I remember.
Oh, yeah.
I remember.